Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Liam Naden. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a 5-stars review on iTunes or Spotify. Interesting talking about the brain, realizing how it functions, the parts of the brain, and how it influences our daily lives. What have you learned about the four parts of the brain so far?
Well, you know, the really interesting thing was how I got onto this was I'd been a student of success. You know, I'd always wanted to be a person who had the best life possible. So I was always looking for ways to, you know, be successful. How could I be happy, rich, all those things, you know, and really fulfilled in my life? And I studied all sorts of different things, personal development, religion, spirituality, self-help, lots of different ways of trying to be more successful. I used to go to lots of seminars, read books, do workshops and coaching programs. But in my mid-40s, something happened that should never have happened, and that was I went from being very successful to literally losing everything overnight. I became homeless. I lost everything. I had to move in and sleep on the sofa in the living room of my elderly mother's small apartment. So what I realized was there was something I'd been missing about what success was. And missing how you really get the results you do in your life. And what I realized, because when I rebuilt my life in the years after that, and things were going a lot better than they ever had, and I wanted to figure out what I was doing differently that was giving me a much happier and really more successful life than I'd ever had, I thought, what am I missing? And the thing I'd been missing was so obvious when I started to look into it. But the thing I'd been missing, what most people are missing, is the fact that we are biological beings. You know, we're human. We live in a physical world. And no matter what we might think or try and do, nature rules everything. You know, if you want to, for instance, work out, if you think to yourself, I'm going to walk out a 10-story building and I'm going to pray and I'm going to be motivated and I'm going to change my beliefs and I'm going to be put all of my effort in and I'm going to go up in the air, you know that's never going to happen. You are going to fall down because no matter what else is going on, nature rules everything. So what I didn't realize or hadn't realized is that nature rules your success. It determines the results you get in your life. And it does that through your brain. Apologies, disruption there. So I'll just say that again for editing, but if you're editing it, but it does that through your brain. Your brain is a natural biological instrument that is programmed literally to create success in your life. And I never realized that because what I'd realized I'd been doing and what most people are doing is they're fighting against nature. You know, they're trying to force results in their life. So they sit down and, you know, we've all been guilty of this, and so you sit down and you think, what do I want? I'm going to force something to happen. I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to work as hard as I can to achieve it. And the whole time you're actually struggling. You're trying to force it to happen. And all of those things are against the laws of nature. It's like trying to force yourself to fly instead of, you know, fall down off a building. So that's the thing I'd been missing. And when I started to study this even more, I thought, okay, this biological tool, it's programmed for success, to make us as successful as possible. How does it work? Biologically, not some sort of idea, but how does it actually work? And that's what I've been studying for the last few years. And what I've found has really helped me in my own life, and I'm pleased to say helps others as well.
But how does it work? I'm thinking when you say biological and nature, when you use those terms, I'm thinking when I was a kid, I grew up in a rural area, so almost everyone had a garden. And
I remember holding a tomato seed in the palm of my hand, and it was small and no instructions written on the seed. But when we dropped it into the soil, it always produced tomatoes. It never produced a carrot. It never produced a cucumber. It always produced a tomato. So you're saying, as I'm hearing it, it seems like if we go with the flow, we're going to become that tomato seed because it's within us to become successful, and that's to become that tomato seed. But if we don't realize it, what we are, we begin to fight against that and disrupt what we should become.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a good way of explaining it. But you see, here's the thing. Unlike a tomato seed, or tomato seed, you call it, but unlike a tomato seed, you are programmed biologically not to be a tomato seed, but and not to be any other human being, but the best version of yourself. And that comes down to the DNA, which the DNA inside your every cell of your being is like a blueprint of who you are. And the way it's supposed to work is all of nature, including humans, because we're biological, we're part of nature, we run by the same rules, like the law of gravity, we're determined by these things. All of nature, if you were to ask any scientist what is the number one purpose of all living life, they would all tell you the one thing, the one answer, and that is the purpose of all life is to survive. And how it survives is by being the best that it can be, because when it is the best that it can be, it has the greatest chance for survival. So literally everything in nature is wired to ensure that that organism or that living thing becomes the best that it can be, so it has the greatest chance for survival. And in higher beings, such as humans and other higher organisms, there's actually a machine that is designed to work flawlessly with the sole purpose of ensuring that that organism survives and is the best that it can be, and that is a brain. The sole purpose of a brain in any organism, human or other animal or whatever, is to ensure that that animal or that organism becomes the best that it can be so it has the greatest chance for survival. Now, when you really think about that, for a human, what does the best you can be actually mean? Well, of course, it means being your best physically, but it also means being your best mentally and emotionally. In other words, being happy, being fulfilled, and not having stress and problems in your life, because stress and problems don't help you become the best that you can be. They actually do the opposite. They weaken you. There's all sorts of research being done to show that disease is caused by stress. You know, so when you realize that, and you realize there is this machine called a brain whose sole job is to make sure that you're the best that you can be, then all you really need to do is allow it to do its job. And this is where most people fall down, is they don't allow it to do its job because, firstly, they don't realize really that that's the purpose of their brain, and that their brain, guaranteed, used the right way, is programmed to ensure that you have the best life possible. They don't realize that. Because if they did realize that, then they would say to themselves, as I did, okay, now realizing that, what do I need to do to make sure that it's operating the right way, that I am actually using it the right way? And the funny thing is, when you do use it the right way, like any other machine, you get the right result. You get what it's supposed to give you, which is you being the best that you can be.
When you became a multimillionaire, before you lost it all, were you not, you're saying you were not in synchronicity with yourself during that time?
I wasn't using my brain the right way, and I didn't realize it, but when looking back on it, and we can talk about the four parts of the brain, because I've actually created a model for how your brain physically works, how it's physically designed to ensure that you are the best that you can be. But when I look back on it, yeah, I wasn't using it the right way. I was completely doing it all wrong. And I was doing what most people are doing, which is all wrong, which is why most people, unlike every other organism in nature, most people aren't being what we're biologically designed to be, which is our best.
What are the four parts of the brain?
Right, well, here, this is how it works. And I've really created a model which I call the four-part brain model for success. Okay. And all of this is based on science, but I don't use scientific jargon. In my coaching, I get into some of the jargon, but really to understand it in simple terms, all you really need to know about these four parts, and these are all separate physical locations and physical functions in your brain. This is not an idea like your, you know, people might have heard of your conscious mind and your subconscious and all that sort of thing, which are not necessarily located anywhere physically. These are four physical locations, and they all have physical functions. So the first part of your brain is located right on the top of your head, and it's what I call your rational thinking brain. And your rational thinking brain, the purpose of that, it's really like a library or a database of all of the information that you pick up throughout your life in every moment. So everything that you experience through your five senses and every thought and every idea that you're exposed to gets stored in your rational thinking brain, because that enables you to make sense of the world and enables you to put labels on things, for instance. And therefore, we can create language and we can communicate with other people. So we can say, well, that's a tree and not a horse. And we can talk to someone else and we say, that's a tree. And they know it's a tree. So it's all based on the information that we've gathered throughout our life. So that's the rational thinking brain. The second part of your brain is located just below your rational thinking brain. Another word for the rational thinking brain is the neocortex. That's the scientific term. Just below there is what I call the emotional feeling brain. And it's two or three different separate organs within or places within your brain. But your emotional feeling brain, as the name suggests, this is responsible for creating feelings. This is what determines how you feel in any moment, either, you know, happy, excited, loving, grateful, all of those things, to the opposite, stressed, worried, afraid. This all takes place, or it's all managed by your emotional feeling brain. The third part of your brain is at the back of your head and towards, in connection with your spine, and it's what I call your survival brain. And your survival brain is responsible for, as the name suggests, everything to make sure that you just keep surviving in every moment. So without having to think about it, obviously. So it's all your automatic physical functions, you know, the everything that's going on with your organs and the processes within your body, because that's what's keeping you surviving without having to think about it. You know, your heartbeat, your breathing, all of those things. And there's one really important part of your survival, because remember, your survival brain is about automatic functioning. It's not about thinking. It's not the rational thinking brain. This is the stuff that happens without you thinking about it. And there's one other very important part of your survival that has to happen without you being able or needing to think about it, and that's dealing with threats or dangers. So in ancient times, a lion might jump out from behind a rock at you, or you might, you know, the world when the human brain was formed was a much more dangerous place, and we had to have a weapon or a mechanism to fight off a danger without us, before we could even recognize or even think about it. So we have this thing, and it's often called the fight-flight response. But it's where, which I'm sure everyone's familiar with, but it's where you react to danger. So something comes out, you know, a lion jumps out of the rock and from behind the rock, and you shout out for help, or you run away, or you stand to fight. Whatever it is, it's a reaction to an immediate threat to your survival. So that's all contained within the survival brain. Okay, now the fourth part of your brain, and this is buried deep within your skull, this one, this is the most important part. This is the part that's really designed to manage your life and ensure that the other three parts are working properly as well. But it's designed to ensure that you become the best that you can be. In other words, this is the part of your brain that's in control to do that job, if you allow it to be, if you actually use it. And it's what I call the creative brain. And the creative brain isn't just about being creative. But it is about being creative. But this is the part where you come up with new ideas, new solutions to problems, things you never thought of before. It's where your imagination comes from. It's where your creativity comes from. And athletes, peak performers, and musicians and composers and artists have often said it's like this power that they don't know where it comes from, but it enables them to operate at peak efficiency, peak performance. They often call it being in the flow or being in the zone. You know, composers have described the state where they just hear the music and then they write it down. They don't know where it comes from. It's not coming from their thoughts. It's not coming from their rational thinking brain. It's coming from somewhere else. And we've all had that experience of a gut feeling, you know, or a new idea or an intuition that tells us I should do that or I shouldn't do that. This is all part of the creative brain. But here's the really important thing, or another important thing to realize: the creative brain is where your problem-solving ability is. It's where you get the real solutions to problems. You don't get it from your rational thinking brain, which is why you can sit down and try and figure out the solution to a problem for days, weeks, months, and always stay stuck. And then suddenly you get this idea and think, that's what I should do. That's the answer. It was so obvious. Why didn't I see it all along? It's because you haven't been allowing it to come out of this part of your brain. So the creative brain is really important. And the way you are supposed to function, biologically, being the best that you can be, fulfilling your role to survive for as long as you can, and allowing your brain to make sure that happens, the way you do that is when you are using your creative brain. But here's the thing. There's like a switch in your brain, if you like, that switches on and off this creative part of your brain. And what the switch is your feelings, is your emotions, because actually all of this, it's a little bit more common. I hope this is making sense, but this is all managed by your emotional brain for various reasons in the form of chemicals. And when it sends out chemicals, it literally throws a switch one way or the other. One way is when you feel good and happy, it switches on your creative brain. But there's only one time you're not supposed to have those good feelings switched on and your creative brain managing your life. And that is, of course, when a lion comes out from behind the rock, when you're faced with an immediate danger. And what your emotional brain does then is it sends down the signals of fear, stress, worry, anxiety. And literally those chemicals, they switch off the creative brain and they switch on your survival fight or flight brain. So they put you in this different state to fight off the immediate threat to your survival. Now, the reason it does this is because your creative brain is of no benefit or use in that situation. If you've got something, a lion running at you, you've got to react straight away. You can't just stay in this creative good state. You've got to temporarily create the state of reaction to the danger. But the point about that state, that survival fight or flight state, and it's not always fight or flight, but it's just any negative feelings activate the state. When you're in that state, you have very, very limited awareness because your brain is only focused on the lion running at you, or what it thinks is the lion running at you. So it literally shuts down your creative brain. So what does it shutting down? It's shutting down your problem-solving ability, your intuition, your creativity, your imagination, your ability to see what you should be doing in your life, your motivation. All of those things are shut down. And here's the problem. 98% of people are trying to create their life, their ideal life, using their survival brain in a stressed, frustrated, worried state. And you can't possibly, when you're in that state, know what you're supposed to do. You won't find the right solution to the problems. You won't do the right things. And I used to do this all the time because I was living in a stressed, you know, state. I achieved outward success, but I always had problems. And I'd often turn around and say to myself, why did I do that? Why did I do that silly thing, which was such a big mistake to make? And it was because I was operating out of my survival brain, not my creative brain. So the whole trick is to learn to use your creative brain and switch off this fear-activated fight, flight, survival part, which is only going to keep you stuck. It's only good for fighting off lions. It's not good for managing your life. It's not what it's designed to do. And what do we find today? Most people, as I say, are living in that state a lot of the time and wondering why they're stuck in their life. And that's why. That's why I was stuck.
You became homeless, as you mentioned, in your mid-40s. Why didn't you give up and become overcome with shame from falling from being a millionaire, you know, multimillionaire, into now not having the things that you used to have? What kept you going from not succumbing to anything?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question, because the irony of it, the funny thing was that I did give up. I did stop trying. Because what is trying? Trying is when you're in a fearful state. You're trying so hard. You don't realize when you're trying and you're struggling and you're trying to make things happen, you're trying to figure out what's going on and you're trying to work it all out. You don't realize that that's all a very limited part of your brain. Your creative brain has all of the answers. It knows the answers to all of your problems. But when you're feeling stressed and afraid and worried and trying to make things happen, you're shutting that part of your brain down. You're not allowing it to do its job. And so what I didn't realize it at the time, but what I sort of back engineered, if you like, and figured out later, was what I actually did. What I did was actually what we've been taught throughout history by every religious and spiritual tradition, which is to give up, to let go, to allow it to happen. And that doesn't mean just sit back in a corner and meditate and visualize what you want. It means really to allow your brain to take control and lead you down the path you're supposed to go, which you can't see, certainly not when you're in your survival state. You can't see it. But take you down the path you're supposed to be going. So that's what I did. I just gave up, and I remember saying to myself, I give up. I've tried so many things throughout my life. I've tried everything I can think of to figure out success. And obviously none of it's worked, because here I am sleeping on my mother's couch with nothing. So I give up. I don't care anymore. Whatever will happen, will happen. And that's when I activated my creative brain. And you know, the Bible talks about this extensively, because what is faith? Faith is actually knowing that you don't have to force things to happen. You don't have to try and put in all the effort. Your brain will do the job for you. That's what it's designed to do. But the Bible also says 365 times, someone counted and happened to be the same number of days in the year, but it says in the Bible 365 times, be not afraid. Now that is an instruction about how to use your brain the right way. Be not afraid, because what happens when you are afraid? You switch on your survival, limited fight or flight, very, very limited state, and you switch off the part of your brain that's actually there to manage your life. So what you've got to do, and the Bible keeps telling us this and other spiritual traditions as well, you've got to find a way to stop being afraid. That fear, doesn't matter the justification, that fear is going to switch on the wrong part of your brain and switch off the right part of your brain. And there's no way God or anyone else can do anything for you when you're like that. It's a physical, biological fact.
If someone is struggling in their lives right now and they feel like a failure, they should do what? What's the next step they should do to get in that space to utilize or allow their creative brain to bring forth the ideas that's needed?
Well, I think what they need to realize is, if you think you're a failure, or if you think life is bad, or you've got all these terrible things happening in your life, and I'm not saying if you have problems in your life that they're not real, but what you need to realize is that's not you talking. That's your survival brain talking, because your survival brain, this limited part of your brain that's activated when you're stressed, worried, afraid, angry, that part of your brain is very limited. So all it's allowing you to see and think is that you're a failure, you have problems, and you don't know what to do. So rather than trying to fight your way out of whatever situation you're in, using that part of your brain, you know, that's never going to work. What you need to say to yourself is, I'm not using this machine the right way because it's making me feel and do and think things that aren't helping me. So what I need to learn is how to use my creative brain. So I need to start to learn more about how my brain actually works. It's a bit like a motor car. If you said to somebody, if you saw somebody on the street and they were behind a motor car and they were putting in all this effort trying to push this car along, you'd go up to them and say, what are you doing? And they say, well, I'm driving my car. And you'd say, well, how's that going for you? Oh, well, it's a real struggle and I'm not getting anywhere. But the problem is I'm not putting in enough effort. I'm the problem. So I need to try even harder. I need to struggle even more. And you say to them, but you're not using the car the right way. It doesn't matter how much you struggle. It doesn't matter how much you try and figure out how to do it better. You just don't know how it works. So wouldn't it be much better if you figured out and learnt how to drive this car the natural way rather than, you know, in other words, a way that is much more enjoyable, the way it's supposed to be, rather than doing all this struggle? And I think this is the problem for most people, is when we're in a state of anxiety and things aren't going right for us in our life, we want a quick solution. We want, because it's not that we need, or a quick solutions never work, or should I say, we want a quick solution because that's what our survival brain is looking for. That's how it operates, is quick solutions. The lion runs at you, you jump out of the way. It's one quick action. So when you find yourself asking, what do I do? What's the next thing? Analyze how you're feeling. Are you feeling stressed, worried, afraid? Do you feel you need to do something different or for you to be happy? If you feel any of those things, realize that you'll never get the answer from your brain or anyone else for that matter when you're in that state. That you might get a quick fix, but a quick fix is never going to bring you the results you really want. So the bottom line is not to look for the next thing to do or the next quick fix. It's to start to understand how the machine actually works and start driving it, learn to drive it the right way. And that's when you get miracles happening in your life.
You're the host of Let Yourself Off the Hook podcast. If someone wanted to work with you, how would they go about doing so?
Well, I do private coaching for people, and I also have an online masterclass, which is a very big, extensive program, which goes right into detail about how the brain works, and more importantly, well, equally importantly, how to use it the right way, and start to, most importantly, switch your mode of operation from the sphere-based brain to the real you. And so that's predominantly how I do my coaching, is through my online masterclass.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
Realize that your brain is a machine that is designed to make you the best that you can be. Everything else in nature, apart from humans, operates on this principle, and everything is the best that it can be. So when you realize that you're supposed to be the best that you can be, that's where you can start. When you really realize that, that's when you can start to move in a different direction and say, well, I just need to figure out why I'm not the best that I can be, if that's my biological purpose.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. Today's episode has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum.